I had to laugh. I was talking to Mary Murphy downstairs this morning, and we can be kind of rotten together. And in a good way. I just told her, I said, I was in a beauty salon one time, and I saw a plaque that said, you know, women, all they want at first is a heart and a diamond, and later on, all they want is a spade and a club. A club and a spade, there you go. I'm sorry, guys, that just struck me funny, but probably not the rest of you. Two things that someone had mentioned to me. Okay, Asher's birthday is coming up tomorrow. Where are you? Asher, so happy birthday tomorrow. And also there's going to be, Jackie, is there a party for you? Yes, you're going to turn, let's see how old, 29. 80? Well, she does not look 80, so bless her heart. And you are having a get together at an open house, I suppose?
Yeah, from noon to 4 at the district
grinding.
My kids
plan
a surprise.
Oh, plan a surprise! Surprise! But that's next.
All my kids are going to be there.
Okay, from noon to 4, what day again? Next Sunday for Jackie. Oh, boy, if you don't make it to church, I don't know. You don't, you know, my rule at my house is if you don't make it to church, you don't get to go anywhere else later. So your kids may be in a real lonely state without you there if you don't. I'm teasing, teasing. We'll let it slide, Jackie. So, oh, you know, I enjoy, something I used to do with my mother years ago before she passed was we had church on Saturday nights. And so I would drop Wayne off, and not being one that wanted to sit here alone and, you know, stare at the walls until church, I would go and visit my mom. And the first weekend in May was the Kentucky Derby, and my mom turned me on to that. It's her fault. I don't bet. I just enjoy watching the horses. And I had to enjoy it this last year because the winner's name was Sovereignty, who beat out Journalism. Now, is there some righteousness in that? God got the glory. The Sovereignty beat the Journalism. So I thought that was just, you know, I thought that would preach. But I'm not going to. Oh, you know, Mother's Day. We've heard a lot of sermons on Mother's Day. At least I have. 65 years old, I've not only heard a lot of sermons, but about Mother's Day and thinking about my mom, but also for myself. And it's kind of a challenge because when you've heard so many, what's left to be said? Mothers are wonderful. Father's Day, fathers get chewed out for not being wonderful enough. Is that true? Most Father's Day sermons are kind of rough on the fathers. We're going back to the spade in the club. But mothers are usually painted as these wonderful, just slightly below the angelic hosts, right? Now, I can take that. I can appreciate it. This sermon today will not be that. And I'm not going to bash anybody. I'm not going to be mean. We're just going to be realistic about what it is to be a mom. So I'm going to have you turn with me to Exodus 2. And when you get there, now that's an easy one. It's at the beginning of the book or run of the book. Give me an amen when you're there. Wonderful. Now this is going to talk about the birth of Moses. Exodus 2. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, who was hiding, older sisters do that, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father God, you have given us so many rich, wonderful stories in your word that we can learn from, that we can pattern our lives after. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless the reading of this word, that you would, you say God's word never returns void, and we pray that this word today will never return void, and we give you all the praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of you who know the story of Moses, you know that Pharaoh had set out an edict to kill the Hebrew boys because they were becoming too plentiful. He was afraid eventually that they would be so many they would take over. So he had put out an edict for them to be killed. Now, I'm going to put this down here. There are three important characteristics of being a mother that are at the center of this story, and it's at the center of our Christian lives. If we look back at the great women in the Bible, many of them, if not all of them, obtained these three characteristics. But today I want to focus on one woman in particular, and that's Jochebed. This is a common story that we even teach in children's church and Wednesday night ministry about how the story of the basket, you know, I'm sure many of you have had children that have come home from Sunday school or whatever with their little basket with the baby in it. It's a sweet story. It got saved and all those things. Well, there is more to it than that. But yes, it's about this story. I got to tell you, Wayne and I were up north a few years back, and we were coming back down a highway between up near Dixon, Illinois. And there's this big sign for a church. And I got to tell you, I loved it. It said, "Moses, the original basket case." Yeah. I love that. But clearly, that's a sermon for another time. We'll leave that one. But Jochebed displayed the three characteristics of a godly mother. And for those of you taking notes, the first point is Jochebed had faith. Jochebed had a beautiful baby boy. And she had to try and house this little boy who started crying. She did it for 3 months. Now, any of you with babies know they don't stay quiet all the time. And so she had to try and keep this baby up to 3 months old, quiet. And she had guards, soldiers, walking around outside of the house, checking all over, looking for the baby boys. So she had to be diligent in keeping this baby quiet. Well, by 3 months old, it was virtually impossible to keep a baby quiet. So this required her to have faith. She had to have a faith that called for courage and strength on her part. To have faith in the future of her son when everything else looked like total destruction for him. In the power of God, that is where her faith would lie. In the power of an awesome God who could sustain him. She had to come up with or have faith in a crazy scheme. Now think about it. a basket. Now, you have to realize that this idea, I don't believe for a second, was only from Jochebed. I think God implanted that idea in her mind and in her heart. He knew. So he planted that in her heart. She made and fashioned this basket. But the amount of faith it took for this woman to place her 3-month-old son in a basket. Now, mothers, picture this. You're going to go home, you're going to make a basket big enough for a 3-month-old, and you're going to haul it down to the Mississippi River, and you're going to put it in there. How many of you would do it? Not on your life. Now, I'm not saying the Nile is exactly like the Mississippi. We don't have alligators or whatever, crocodiles, okay? But it's beyond our comprehension as a mother to do that. But she had faith in her God. She trusted him above all else. She knew that this plan could backfire and that Moses could be killed. But she also knew that she could have died. Had the soldiers found her doing this, it would have meant certain death for her as well. Well, mothers, today, you must have faith in the Lord. Because I've got to tell you, we don't have soldiers out in the streets. We have a society. We have a government. We have a media. We have all kinds of things and dangers that are outside our door, and some of them are in our house. They are willing and ready to pull your children away from you. The world that we live in right now is extremely evil, and they want nothing more than to pull your children away from your faith, your values, and the God that you hold dear. We have to be just as strong in the Lord and have just as much faith. The evil is real. They would love to pull your kids from believing in your God, in our God. And it stems from one place. You can say, oh, this person's so awful, this person's so awful. It stems from one place, and that is Satan. He has an agenda. You know, mothers, I've said this many times, and I've got a granddaughter who's expecting again, and she has 2 sons. And I look at those little guys. And I've said it before. I quote a phrase from a pastor named Matthew Hagee. And he said, mothers, and this pertains to all mothers, remember this. You do not just bring a life into the world. You are bringing a soul into eternity. This is not a, okay, you have them, you raise them up to be fine little people, and it's all done. No. This is their eternal destiny. So mothers and fathers, the job is daunting. It is not a one and done thing. You have to be diligent in how you raise your children and the faith that you have in your God. When you leave this church, there is a sign up, and Pastor Wayne has mentioned it many, many times, and it says, you are now entering your mission field. I'm sorry, parents. Your largest mission field right now, your most important mission field, are the children under your care. You can go out and win all kinds of souls, but if you can't get your children and fill them with the Word of God, with the love of God, with your faith in God, you've missed the mark. But it's never too late. There are adult parents reaching out to their adult children, trying to lead them to Christ. There are adult children reaching out to their parents, trying to lead them to Christ. It is your mission field. It is the most important thing you can do. Number 2, Jochebed had hope. when everything was being shattered around her, Jochebed, against all odds, found hope. Hope that her son would be saved from Pharaoh's sword and saved to live a life of service to God. Her hope was not in the basket. Her hope was that when she was placing that basket in the water, she was placing her child in the hands of God. Her hope was not in that basket. Her hope was in her God. That is the kind of hope we need to have also. She had hope that God would sustain her son. You realize that every mother today has hope in her heart for each child that God gives her. Hope that they will live a godly life and that keep his commandments. Hope that they will grow up to be useful, faithful people in society. But even more than that, hopeful that they will be used by God. Seriously, I would be happy if my children or grandchildren were digging ditches, if I knew in my heart that they loved the Lord and that they were following after him and serving him. Kids, young people, look at me, everyone. The best gift you can give your mother or father on Mother's Day is accept Jesus Christ. Make your eternity secure. Don't live 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the spiritual side, 1 foot on Christ. They say if you're riding the fence, the devil owns the fence. Get it straight. Make your decision. Give your mother a wonderful Mother's Day gift, because that is where it's at. You can keep the flowers. You can keep whatever. I got to tell you, I was at Tyson's the other day. We were looking at flowers. The parking lot was chock full of cars. We could barely find a place. And some older lady came up to me, and I said, man, this is crazy. She says, yeah, you want to hear the best part? Tyson's parking lot's full. Necker's Jewelers is empty. What does that tell you about what most of the mothers are getting this today? So I'm sorry. But mothers, your children need to see that faith and that hope that you have. They need to see that you have an unwavering strength, an unwavering hope in Jesus Christ. It's your responsibility to let them see that he is the most important thing to you. How do you expect your children to want to serve him, to love him, to rely on him, if they don't see you doing it? You need to be serious about your faith, mothers. And number three, we are going to get done early today, people. So if you made reservations for lunch, you're golden. Number three, Jochebed had love. Every mother must have a love that is submissive to the will of God. Do you realize that Jochebed actually technically carried out the Pharaoh's edict? He wanted the children thrown into the river. She threw the basket into the river, so she actually carried out the edict. But praise God, he was in control. But instead of casting him into the waters, like I said, she casted him into the arms of a loving God. Now, many of you know that over 20 years ago, Pastor Wayne and I lost a baby. And while reading this, it hit me. When I was thinking about Jochebed releasing her child, I got it. I understood. It's not easy. But we had to release our son into the arms of a God that we loved. to know in my heart that God loved my son, Elisha, more than I did? How can you continue to live in sadness and despair? I didn't have him anymore, but all God did was take him from my past and he placed him in my future. Excuse me. That is love. I don't understand the reasons why he took him. I don't have to. I have faith and hope in a loving God who knew absolutely what was best. He had him. He was taking care of him. I didn't have to have one fear or worry about him. His life mattered. He had a purpose in being born, even though I didn't know what that purpose was or even understand it. But the Lord did. And he gives us beauty from ashes. That is where we're at. We may not understand everything, but God does. Jochebed did not know how things would play out, that her son would grow up to be used by God. That her son would grow up to help deliver a nation. She didn't know all that, but she loved her God enough and she loved her son enough to let go and let God. In that moment on the riverbank, Jochebed discovered that perfect love casts out fear. The one thing that I just love about the story of Moses is how the Lord rewarded Jochebed. If you read on farther, you know the story of Moses, and you know about the Exodus from Egypt. For her faith, hope, and love, she was reunited with her child to be able to nurse him and take care of him until he went to the queen's palace. Excuse me. She was reunited with him as a toddler. But then when he grew and during the Exodus, you know she went with them on the Exodus out of Egypt? How fabulous is that? She got to watch the child that she gave over to the Lord, that she surrendered to her God. She got to watch him lead her people, not just his, her people, out of the despair of Egypt and into the promised land. Mothers, your job is not an easy one. It is not for the faint of heart. The Lord requires you to live an example for your children. You will not be perfect, but out of obedience to the Lord, you must do your best job. Rely on him. Call on him. And surrender. My point today, through all this, faith, hope, and love. It's amazing. She displayed all of those things. Mothers, have faith in your God. Hope in the Lord, and love him with all your heart. And he will be with you. Will you go through hard times? More than likely. Will your children hurt your heart? Most definitely. But will your God be faithful? Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I ask that you would bless each mother here today. They have a task. They have a mandate. And I pray that you would help them, sustain them, Give them the courage to stand up for their convictions and to follow after you. Give them a strong faith, Lord, and give them enduring hope. And give them a fresh love for you and for their families, Lord. I pray a blessing over each and every person in this building today, Lord, that we will keep our eyes upon you. Jesus, you are the perfecter of our faith, and we rely on you for everything that we have to do. We love you, Lord. We lift you up on high, and we ask that you would be with us and bless our mothers. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, as you can see, we have flowers again. So each mother, I would like each mother, and if you have trouble walking, or you may send up one of your children, but each mother is going to get a rose. So feel free, come on up, and mothers, you can have a rose today.